Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The first reading for the Festival of the Martyrdom of St. John the Baptist is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died in sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. At that time, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. Immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The conscience does not die without a fight. Herod hears the report of Jesus. Immediately he knows that's John the Baptist, returned from the dead. He's wrong, of course, but no one could possibly convince him otherwise if they tried. His conscience remembers what he had done. His conscience had caused it all in the first place. His and his illegitimate wife's. Herod has taken his brother's wife. That's a no-no even in the Playboy's playbook. And it's certainly contrary to God's gift of marriage. But John was the prophet. He was sent to do unpopular work, to teach God's word in its truth and purity. And his sermon, heard with perplexity, is a call to repentance. It's a desperate effort to get that deadened conscience to resonate with God's law. It is not lawful for you to do this, to have her, Herod. Herod listened, but he refused to actually hear. And Herodias then is able to compel him to abuse his power and to imprison John so that he would not have to listen to him anymore. Now, we sometimes call this murdering the conscience. St. Paul calls it to have a seared conscience, a conscience that can no longer hear God's word or resonate with it anymore. It has no flexibility left in it. The Lord has written his law right into our hearts, true enough, but the world and the temptations, and especially our own sinful nature that gives in to them, that has a way of rubbing out God's law in our hearts, scratching it over, dimming it. That's why we need God's word over and over again our whole lives through, to correct us, to rebuke us, to set us straight again. We need it to accuse us and to convict us, to call us to repentance, to wake us up. And then, of course, we need the true solution to a guilty conscience, not shutting up the messenger, but a clean conscience, which comes through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the danger of going on with a dulled and a seared conscience? Well, we get to watch this dramatic soap opera of Herod unfold, how he's content to have his own stepdaughter ogled by all of his lecherous dinner guests, and even then himself to join in, making then foolish promises, oh, half my kingdom, choosing, when he was forced, prestige over true honor when the deal goes south. And we even see the foolishness of Herodias' daughter. She's willing to give in to her mother's selfish requests and get a bloody head as her reward for this horrible deal. What a mess. And when Jesus comes preaching the very same message that John had preached, repent and believe the gospel, Herod's conscience pricks him yet again. Now, this is good. This is really good. This is the Holy Spirit at work in God's word to call even this kind of mess of sinners to repentance, to convict them of sin because they do not believe, as Jesus says in John's gospel. But the hardened heart refuses it. The hardened heart protects its pride above all costs. It is willing to believe ghost stories more easily than the very words of God. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. And give us instead, Lord, a conscience like John's, one that is firm in faith, returning always to Jesus like he did when he was locked up in prison earlier, trusting in the Lord's mercy and being so confident in it that we are not afraid to let God's law do its hard work on those that we have to share it with, yes, but first and foremost, on us and our hearts. Because we know that whoever the Lord lays low, he raises up. Whoever bears his accusation, he also then comforts with his absolution. Whoever dies for his name's sake and for his truth's sake, our God brings him back to life truly at the last day. And that's why this really sordid tale ends very peacefully. Did you hear it? John's disciples come, they take his body, and they bury it in a tomb. That is not a sad ending at all, because they also go and they tell Jesus what happened about their teacher's martyrdom. And what is it that Jesus says? Whoever believes in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. Our Lord Jesus gives a clean conscience. That's why precious in the sight of our Lord is the death of his saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.